From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hours. We're well into our 20th year now on what was Immaculate Heart Radio, now on Relevant Radio, but all was started by Bishop William Wiegand, and certainly carried on with great vigor by Bishop Jaime Soto. And so we greatly appreciate all the support from our listeners and from our many wonderful underwriters, and we hope that you will support them as they have supported us over all these 20 years. So appreciate that very much. Say, Virtual World Youth Day is a call, and it's being called Stateside World Youth Day this year. That's just right around the corner now. World Youth Day is going to take place in Panama in late January. Yeah, it's a quote-unquote winter event, but it's hard to call what goes on in Panama in January winter. That's right on the equator. World Youth Day is a call to all Catholic youth and young adults to renew their faith in Christ and prepare themselves for the work of the new evangelization that lies ahead. You're invited to join for an overnight pilgrimage in the Diocese of Sacramento at Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Colfax for fellowship, prayer, food, and a celebration through a live stream to Panama, which will feature Bishop Jaime Soto and, of course, Holy Father Pope Francis, and all the festivities from the actual World Youth Day in Panama. At Trinity Pines will be Vince Nims, a Catholic musician and youth minister from the Bay Area, also the Amped Youth Choir from St. Clair Parish in Roseville. It all starts at 1 o'clock on Saturday, January 26th, and this is for high school kids, and runs through the next morning, Sunday, January 27. It's only $20, which includes dinner and breakfast the next morning and snacks and entertainment and an overnight accommodations. It's all only $20. And if you pre-register, you'll also receive a World Youth Day T-shirt. So go to SCD, that's Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org/WYD, WYD standing for World Youth Day, scd.org/World Youth Day, WYD. Well, we're pleased and honored to welcome in by phone, welcome in Leticia Hilbert. Leticia, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to invite your listeners to this pro-life event.
Very, very good. We're as all Catholics are, we're very big on pro-life events here. And this is it's almost where, you know, when you think about pro-life, and especially when you're dealing with abortion and that, you know, the young people, you always think back to the Feast of the Holy Innocents.
Yes, unfortunately, injustice has happened throughout our history, right?
Yes, yes. Tell us, first off, in the Feast of the Holy Innocents, of course, is December 28th, which is this year is a Friday right after Christmas. Christmas is on a Tuesday. Bishop Soto will lead the annual Feast of the Holy Innocents candlelight rosary procession and Holy Mass starting at 6 p.m. on the steps of the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. And you pray for the sanctity of life as you walk to the beautiful Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish at 7th and T for a concelebrated Mass, which will start at 7 p.m. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the Feast of the Holy Innocents.
Well, as your listeners might remember, when King Herod heard that the Magi had gone a different way and didn't stop to tell him what the whereabouts of the newborn king, he got very mad, and he sent his troops to kill all the children in Bethlehem and two and under. So that was really something terrible. But that's who we commemorate with this event. those babies that were murdered in the place of our Lord Jesus, and also all the babies that are unfortunately murdered nowadays throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at some statistics, and I mean it's almost a thousand children per in the United States. And I don't remember exactly.
A thousand a day.
A thousand a day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is just crushing. I mean, we should all feel responsible because we need to do something to prevent this from continuing to happen. So this candlelight procession is a way to bring awareness to the people and to pray for the souls of the unborn babies. And also, well, to pray for the end of abortion, because we all can do a little bit. And when I always think that when I'm in front of our Lord at the Day of Judgment, he's going to ask me, what did you do for those unborn babies?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me pause and think, and I say, no, we have to do more. So this is one of the ways that people can contribute. They can bring their families, make it like a Christmas tradition, bring their children. It's a prayerful walk. A bishop leads the rosary, and we hold candles, and it's beautiful. It extends the walk. You can, if you look at from a distance, you can see several blocks of people with candles praying and walking. It's a beautiful sight. And then we arrive to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and there we have a bilingual mass with the intention of all the English speakers and Spanish speakers be able to unite in one celebration. And it is a beautiful mass also.
Very
so I do invite everybody to come out. It is a little chilly, but with a good jacket, it works. and then afterwards, our newest chapter of the Knights of Columbus, we have a new chapter in the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament,
mm-hmm.
I'm guided by Jaime Elizalde.
Mm-hmm.
He will have his knights go and guide us through the walk, and also provide the carpool to bring people back to the cathedral so they can get in their cars again.
Especially if it's raining.
Especially if it's raining. One year we did have rain, but
but only one year. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember, but one year, maybe there's been more, because what happened is that this walk has been done for many years.
Yes.
When I received the baton, the flag,
mm-hmm.
to continue, they told me it had already like 20, 25 plus years.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Carol Schooner was
yes,
the person
right.
who told me, it's your turn. So with the pro-life ministry at the cathedral, now that we have a new head of the ministry, Liliana Valderrama, well, we have worked on this for, I think this is the fifth year that we have organized it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very rewarding, and it's a spiritual event for the chaos of that we have just passed in all the Christmas season. Well, the shopping and the people do, you know. So you can quiet down and reflect and pray. It's a beautiful experience for everybody,
yeah.
Young and old.
Yes, indeed. And it's pretty hard to get from the cathedral to Our Lady of Guadalupe without going past the Capitol.
Exactly.
Which is so very appropriate.
We do stop at the Capitol. And by the way, somebody, I'm not sure who, but somebody puts on a nativity scene. So
mm-hmm.
we stop there and we pray. We pray for our legislators mm-hmm. and our governor and all the people that guide the country to right. well, to change their hearts and minds and defend life. And it's really an experience that will mark the hearts of the children, if you take children. And when they have a decisive moment in their life to choose life or death, they'll choose life.
Yeah, you know, this, you know, it's interesting that the Capitol is placed right between these two great churches, parishes, shrines. But whether you're, you know, conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat or what you are, you can certainly be pro-life, and you can certainly pray for all our leaders of any stripe that they always do the right thing, especially when it comes to life.
Of course. It is ridiculous how people can consider others like less important.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's ignorance. So we want to bring awareness so people can realize that everybody's made in the image and likeness of God, and everybody has the right to live, right?
So absolutely.
I think that makes it transcendental.
Yeah, indeed it does. That's a perfect word for it. And, you know, Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, and you can define least in a lot of different ways, but certainly least would include, in my mind, people who can't help themselves, which certainly leads you to the unborn.
Yes, of course. And I've seen young people that have gone to this walk and also to the Walk for Life and mm-hmm. have participated in life events, and when they come to a point where they say, do I choose life or do I choose death, they choose life because
oh, yeah.
they have learned that this is that life is precious.
Life is precious, and also I think they've learned that there's going to be a great body of support for them when they choose life.
Well, that's true. Thank goodness. I mean, there's a lot of organizations that are helping, that are supporting women that are in
Absolutely.
Need, or that have, we all do a little bit here, a little bit there, but God does the whole work.
Indeed. Well, yeah, if you look at, I mean, from the Sacramento Life Center to the St. Vincent de Paul Society, the Knights of Columbus, and just ordinary people acting on their own, there are a lot of people out there that are willing to help people in this situation.
Yes, there are. And I have, there's a lady there at the cathedral, and I'm sorry, I don't know her name, but she just knits blankets for the babies.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can do a little bit. It doesn't have to be like a big thing. It can be little deeds that will grow and will have one day everybody respecting the life of
others. That's
right?
What Mother Teresa always said. Just doing the little things. You know, Saint Mother Teresa. Leticia, thanks so much for telling us about this. Again, it's Friday, December the 28th, right between Christmas and New Year's, the annual Feast of the Holy Innocents, Candlelight Rosary Procession, and Holy Mass. You meet at 6 p.m. on the steps of the cathedral, and if you haven't been there, it's at 11th and K, right downtown. Pray for the sanctity of life as you walk to Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is at 7th and T, a beautiful walk, and I'm guessing about a mile, and the Mass will be concelebrated there at 7 p.m., and Bishop Soto will lead the procession. And it commemorates those male infants of Bethlehem who were killed by the decree of King Herod, as well as those innocent unborn babies lost by abortion today. Bring your kids, bring your family. You can sing with St. Mary's Choir, walk to Mass, praying the rosary. Candles will be provided, and then the carpools will be available to shuttle people back to the cathedral in the area where you walk. And be sure and dress warmly, even if it's not raining or blowing or anything else. It's going to be chilly. And bring an umbrella if you need to. And for more information, you can call Letitia at 916-519-0417. Letitia Hilbert, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll be talking to you as we get closer to the event.
Thank you very much, Bob.
God bless you.
God bless you, and have a happy Advent.
You too. God bless you too, Letitia. That's Letitia Hilbert from the Cathedral. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Patton. Stay tuned. More to come on the Bishop's Hour. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Move to Woodland, and I can explain that, you know.
Welcome back, and welcome to Steve Patton. And Steve, always good to have you with us.
Morning, Bob.
A lot of, you know, we're moving very good. We're talking to Letitia Hilbert about the Feast of the Holy Innocents on December the 28th, of course, and the procession for that. And then we move into January, and that's Roe v. Wade month, and we don't celebrate it. I don't even like the word commemorate. It is the anniversary.
Well, we commemorate Pearl Harbor.
Well, that's true.
So it's a sad anniversary, but
exactly.
it's an anniversary nonetheless.
Indeed, and then of course we have the major March for Life in Washington D.C., which is usually on the actual day of Roe v. Wade, and then the Walk for Life in San Francisco, which is generally the Saturday after Roe v. Wade, and now in conjunction with all that, a couple of events coming up here
in
the Diocese of Sacramento.
The last number of years we've had an event we call Choose Life, and that is done on or about the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. I say on or about because sometimes it falls on a weekend, and then in that case we do it on a Friday or the Monday. But this time it is January 22nd is a Tuesday, and we'll be doing these Choose Life programs once again. This past January, we did two locations. We did it in Sacramento, and we did it in Yuba City. Mm-hmm. This year, we're going to be doing that again, except we're pushing it even further up north so that our sometimes neglected and overlooked North State gets the benefit of our programming, too. So this year, the Choose Life program will be January 22nd in Sacramento metro area, and then in the North State on the 23rd. Now, before I give more specifics on that, let me explain a little bit about what Choose Life is. This is a program for, in the past, it had been for middle and high school students. Uh-huh. This year, we're narrowing the attendance just to 7th and 8th graders. Uh-huh. So in the past, we attempted, when we called it middle school to high school, that meant for a lot of people 6th grade
sure.
through 12th grade.
Right.
And that is, you know, if you've ever had a 6th grader and a 12th grader, you know they are leagues apart in terms of their, you know,
absolutely.
Emotional, social, intellectual development. So being able to present a, you know, a compelling...
For both at the same time.
Audiences, yeah. then it's just been too, really hard to work with. So right. This year we're tightening it down to just 7th and 8th graders. And so that's the one big change we're making. We're still, you know, going to be reaching out to high school students, but doing it through different avenues.
Right.
So so that's one of the big changes we're making. And also 6th graders, you know, best to just wait till they get to 7th right. and 8th grade for this this particular topic. So that's the one big change, 7th and 8th graders. Another big change is we're moving the location. We had done this program in the past at the Cathedral, the Metro Sacramento area program, but this year we're moving it to Woodland. Mm-hmm. The two reasons behind that, one at the Cathedral where we've held it in the Mercy Hall, is where we were limited by space there. It was a relatively small facility, so we want to be able to expand mm-hmm. our invitation to all 7th and 8th grade students, not just a select representation from classes. So it was because of the limitation of the Cathedral's social hall and also because of just this really obnoxious parking situation in downtown Sacramento.
Really hard, yeah.
That created an obstacle for a lot of people who otherwise would have wanted to come but you know, just don't want to do it.
Golden One down there, it's become really difficult.
Yeah, so we moved it to Woodland. We talked with a lot of the stakeholders in this, and they said that you know they were not put off by going to Woodland. As a matter of fact, you know, Bob, we're sitting here at 21st and Broadway. Woodland is closer to us than Roseville is.
Oh, it is.
You know,
yeah.
but we tend to not think of it that way because it's separated by the causeway, and
right.
you think it's like way out there, but it's really
and actually
it's like a suburb of Sacramento.
From Sacramento, if you get on I-5 North, and then you just go right past the airport, and there you
yeah.
are in Woodland.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And fortunately, all the principals, you know, thought the same way. So we'll be shooting for doing it in Woodland.
In fact,
this
we
year.
Should do a test, Steve. We'll both get in our cars. We'll agree to drive the same speed, and one of us will go try to park downtown Sacramento and get to the Cathedral. The other one can drive to Holy Rosary in Woodland and park.
There you go.
And you, I wouldn't be surprised if the one in Woodland got there first.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be in Woodland this year. And, again, I'm sorry I was going to describe the program
yeah.
in a little more detail. It's a program to – the verbs you come up with it is to educate, to motivate – to equip, and then also to inoculate. Mm-hmm. So we want to, you know, these are kids, 7th and 8th graders, kind of at that turning point from becoming kids into becoming adolescents
right.
and soon to becoming, you know, young adults. We want to be able to get them poised to be able to face the
right.
onslaught of the
right.
of the abortion rhetoric and you know mentality that they will very soon confront if they haven't already.
They will absolutely
in high school and then absolutely in college. So we want to you know we provide them a window into the womb. We have a local pregnancy resource center comes in with an ultrasound. We do a live ultrasound for the kids with a you know birth mom who's
probably the first time most of them have seen a live ultrasound.
Most people have not seen a live
right,
ultrasound.
Right.
It's, you know, we get a model mom in who's about 3 months pregnant and then just get that big picture projected up on the screen and very impressive to the kids. And talk about fetal development. We talk about, you know, how the uniqueness of every fetus is a human being. It's a human person.
Pure science.
Yeah.
It's pure science.
Yeah, you don't have to be religious or even, you know, a believer of any kind to recognize this. So we try to, although this is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, I mean, abortion is the occasion for our getting together. We do not dwell really on abortion. We certainly don't get any of the graphics, either in terms of pictures or descriptions. It's more a focus on the sanctity, the reality of, and the humanity of preborn human life.
Right.
So we do that by way of the live ultrasound, just talking about fetal development, you know, when the heart starts beating, et cetera. And then we have also some time we spend on equipping the kids and convincing them that they can actually be advocates for life, even in seventh and eighth grade.
Right.
And how a simple conversation can make a big difference in, you know, whether a life is extinguished or saved.
Yeah, and it gives them some talking points, if you will, too. Frequently, kids, they hear stuff and they say, that doesn't ring true, but I don't know what to say back, you know.
Yes.
And it gives, it empowers them a little bit with some facts.
Yes, and not just facts, but strategies of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what often happen with kids as they get into high school. They will be innately pro-life, but they're not rhetorically capable of engaging a conversation. So they would be in a situation where, you know, older, cool kids are sort of speaking in terms of the abortion rhetoric, and they're feeling, you know, this kid in this situation feels something's wrong here, but they're not really equipped to enter into that conversation.
Right.
So we want to be able to provide them that equipment, and like I said earlier, to inoculate them against that rhetoric, so they can know going into the older years that they're going to be confronted with this situation and that they need to be prepared to deal with it.
Absolutely.
Not only to protect their own minds from being, you know, warped, but to be able to actually, you know,
influence some others.
Influence Absolutely. Others that could ultimately save a life.
Absolutely. And again, this will be Tuesday, January 22nd, 2 programs, 10 to noon and 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Holy
yes.
Rosary School Gym. And but you should know, for those that don't know Woodland, the school gym is not where the parish, not where the church is. It's on its own, it's a few blocks away, 505 California Street. So think Holy Rosary School is where you're going.
So this is actually kind of a pre roll out right here, Bob. You know, we're still formulating our promotional materials, but wanted to let everyone know sooner rather than later that the program will be, again, January 22nd and 23rd. We're going to do the program not just on 2 days, but twice on each of those 2 days. So it's a total of 4 programs. In Woodland, we do the program in the morning from 10 till noon for the sake of our Catholic 7th and 8th grade students.
Right.
So they'll be coming from all over Metro Sacramento, from Vallejo, Benicia, Fairfield, Vacaville.
Right.
We'll be driving in. And then we'll do the program again in the evening at the same location, Holy Rosary School Gym, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And that's for the sake of kids who could not come to the morning program, 7th and 8th graders who are in public school, for example.
Right.
Or who might have been unable to come, you know, during the day. So, and then we'll do the program the next day, Wednesday, January the 23rd, morning program from 10 till noon, again, for the North State Catholic School students. Those will be kids from Oroville, Redding,
Anderson,
Chico,
wherever
there's a great Catholic grade school up north, they'll be congregating there at Sacred Heart High School in Red Bluff. So we'll do that from 10 till noon on the 23rd, and then once again replicate the program in the evening from 6:30 to 8. But that evening program will be in Chico, not in Red Bluff. So anyway, stay tuned. You can feel free to contact me at the diocese, Steve Patton, that's S Patton, S-P-A-T-T-O-N, at scd.org, or my direct line, 916-733-0133 for more information.
Very, very good. And then the Walk for Life West Coast, and we'll be giving you more on that as well. It would be January 26th, and if you if your kids maybe attended this program and you take them down to the Walk for Life, it's a little booster shot, if you will. There's something about seeing 50,000 people of a like mind that really is inspiring. And whether or not there should be strength in numbers, it's sort of gratifying and heartening to see that.
Yeah, and encouraging too, because we can tend to feel kind of isolated and that we're
especially in California sometimes. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Very nice. Thanks so much, Steve.
You're welcome, Bob.
I appreciate it very much. Reminder, the virtual World Youth Day, the stateside World Youth Day, they're going to have it up at Trinity Pines. This is for high school students. World Youth Day will be taking place in late January in Panama, and a beautiful site for a wonderful, wonderful celebration. It's a call to all Catholic youth and young adults to renew their faith in Christ and prepare themselves for the work of the new evangelization that lies ahead. You're invited to join for an overnight pilgrimage in the Diocese of Sacramento at Trinity Pines Catholic Center for fellowship, prayer, food, and a celebration through a live stream to Panama for World Youth Day. It's all Saturday, January 26th at 1 p.m. It's a live stream to Panama, which Bishop Soto will be there. Also, then includes dinner, includes breakfast on Sunday, all at Trinity Pines Catholic Center, 28,000 Rollins Lake Road in Colfax. Again, a live stream with Bishop Soto. If you register, it's only $20 per person. You can go to scd.org, WYD. That stands for World Youth Day. And it's only $20 per person. So you will get a T-shirt, World Youth Day T-shirt for $20. And if you pre-register, and those are limited supply, so be sure and get it in ahead of time. That's www.scd.org/WYD. Also, Choose Life 2019, as Steve Patton just explained, the middle school youth gatherings in observance of Roe v. Wade. They will have a live ultrasound there. Learn how to defend life. One of the guest speakers will be Anna Bach, who's Students for Life of America, Tuesday, January 22nd, 10 a.m. to noon, at Holy Rosary in Woodland, 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the evening at the same site. Again, that's 505 California Street in Woodland. Wednesday, January 23rd, 10 to noon, the program at Mercy High School Gym in Red Bluff. And then that evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at our Divine Savior Parish Hall in Chico on 566 East Lassen Avenue in Chico. And so much going on here in the Diocese of Sacramento, but I wanted to take a second to tell you about something I just saw in the news. The Holy Father talking to kids with cancer and had some profound words for them. He said, "It's not easy living with cancer, but there's always some kind of victory that awaits each person on the horizon," Pope Francis told young oncology patients from Poland. "Your journey in life is a bit difficult, dear children, because you have to get treated and overcome the disease or live with the disease. This is not easy, but with the support of family and friends and others, there's no difficulty in life that cannot be overcome." These are all kids from Wrocław, Poland, where they're being treated in an oncology clinic there. He said, "God has given everyone a guardian angel so that he may help us in life. Become accustomed to talking to your angels so that he may take care of you, give you encouragement, and always lead you to victory in life." Give you encouragement, indeed. "Victory is different for each person. Everyone prevails in his or her own way, but prevailing is always the ideal. It is the horizon for moving forward. Do not get discouraged," the Holy Father told them. I really like that about the guardian angel. "Become accustomed to talking to your angel so that he may take care of you, give you encouragement, and always lead you to victory." We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
I can appreciate all you do here for our wonderful Catholic schools. And again, you know, last week the Catholic schools announced that anyone who has been displaced by the terrible campfire up in Butte County is welcome to wherever you are, you know, wherever you've been displaced to, contact your local Catholic school, and they will be happy to enroll you with no tuition, no anything. If you need a backpack, if you need books, if you need a uniform, whatever you need, it will be provided for you free of charge. And for the remainder of the school year, we're talking about all the way into June of next year of 2019. So keep that in mind. Maybe you've been displaced to Sacramento or Woodland or Yuba City, or maybe you're in the Chico area. Wherever you are, there would be a Catholic school there willing and to accept you with open arms, no questions asked at all. It's the very least we can do, and makes me very proud to be part of this church that's reaching out so dramatically and really with great dedication to all the victims, as many people in this area and throughout the country are doing. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Noel Kammerman, the executive director of Loaves and Fishes. Noel, good to have you with us.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I still think of you as the new executive director. How long's it been?
Oh, it's been about a year and a half now.
Well, you're not new anymore.
I'm newish, but probably not not so new anymore.
And you're certainly not new to this cause and this ministry.
No, I've been doing work and that helps folks that are experiencing homelessness. Been doing this work for about 15-16 years now. So
wow. So what? Just in the year and a half since you came to Sacramento, what have been your biggest challenges? Just to begin with.
Well, I mean, right now, just the sheer numbers of folks that we're seeing out there, just folks that have lost their homes for one reason or another. I mean, more recently here, we're seeing a lot of folks that have lost their homes due to the fires. But when we look at kind of what's kind of happening out there with housing and how difficult it is for folks to get out of homelessness and into housing, and for many folks keep their housing. It's such a tight housing market out there for rentals and everything that, I mean, it is really, it's putting some folks into some really difficult situations and you know, where they get to that scenario where they have to decide, do I pay for food or do I pay for rent? And we've all got to eat.
Oh boy.
We've all got to, you know, make some difficult choices sometimes. And so, the result of it is some folks that lose their housing. And so we're seeing a lot of folks out there.
So we keep hearing about the economy, and the economy is red hot. And, you know, happy days are here again. How does that affect people who are on the margins or people who are homeless?
I would say that, I mean, it makes it for, I mean, for those folks that are on the margins or are already experiencing homelessness, it's tough because once you fall into that scenario, into that situation, it is incredibly difficult to climb your way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If someone has lost their home, it makes it difficult for them to be able to go out and get a job, especially if they're out there and forced to live on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nowhere to keep their belongings. There's nowhere to, you know, plug in an alarm clock to get up for that, you know, job interview or that appointment.
Right.
And it really does become a full-time job to just try and find your way and exist while experiencing homelessness. So it's tough.
And when things are humming, it seems like the cost of living goes up, rents go up, et cetera.
Yeah, cost of living continues to increase. I mean, it costs an incredible amount of money to build anything new out there. And there's a lot of competition, I think, from developers and construction companies who, I mean, there's a lot of, know, jobs out there for folks where they're trying to also not just build new housing to meet the demands of our expanding population, but they're also trying to replace housing that was just recently lost.
Mm-hmm.
due to the tragedies of the fires in many cases here. So it makes it tough for us to build our way out of this situation as a community, as a region, as a state.
Are you seeing people at Loaves and Fishes that have specifically been displaced by the fire?
Yeah, we have seen some.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen some. So they're not, I mean, they're not so local to us, but a lot of times people, they go to folks that they know. They go to family and friends and in different areas of the state. And obviously, you know, when you look at the areas that were just completely devastated by the fires, I mean, there's nothing there. And even the houses that remain,
right.
The infrastructure isn't there either, so there's not really much for them to stay around for. So it's I mean, it is. I can't even begin to imagine the difficulties that those folks are facing.
Yeah, just on a million different fronts. You know, it's mind-boggling. So as we move into the Christmas season, everybody. You know, I'm sure it's not amusing, but it is almost, it's one of the ironies of life. We always think about organizations like Loaves and Fishes at Thanksgiving, at Christmas time, and yet, obviously, the need doesn't magically end on the 26th of December.
No, it doesn't. I mean, we serve folks 364 days out of the year. Our one day off is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Only because there are so many folks that come out and step up and really try
right.
and help people out. And you know what? I think it's still important for everyone to just take a moment, take a breath, and take stock of everything, because we're coming into the holidays and you know, whether it's Thanksgiving and trying to remember what we're thankful for, whether it's you know, Christmas and coming up into that holiday. And we're all, you know, surrounding ourselves with friends and family, and it's a moment to really, again, you know, just be thankful for all that we have. And in many cases, there's a lot of interest from different groups, whether it's school groups, whether it's families, community groups, that want to get involved and try and do some community service, you know, and volunteer at an organization. We certainly see a number of folks that want to come in and help us out. And unfortunately, we can't accommodate every group just because there is so much interest, but it really is wonderful, and it's important because I think it's you know, we just try to remember how it all comes together for ourselves, and remember that there are folks that are in a difficult situation out there that don't have it as good.
No, do you need volunteers for things beyond, you know, serving the daily meal, you know, in Friendship Park and the various and diverse ministries that you have there at Loaves and Fishes?
Oh, certainly. We have a number of volunteer opportunities for folks, whether it is in the dining room, which is kind of, it's been our claim to fame there, but
sure.
We have so many other programs where we have volunteers. And a lot of times, if depending on what a person's skill set is, we can kind of mash them up with the different programs or depending on what their interest is. So we have people that help us out in Friendship Park. There are volunteers for Mary House. There are volunteers for the dining room, for our Tommy Klinkenberry Legal Clinic, our wash house, all over campus. I mean, we have about 15, 16 different programs that are all kind of located right here. That all do a lot of good, helping folks that are currently experiencing homelessness out there in the community.
Do you sometimes feel that you need to add loaves and fishes and other stuff? It's not a deceptive name, but it certainly goes to the history of the name, and it's obviously a very, very well-known name. But you do offer so much more than loaves and fishes now.
Yes, we do, and I find myself often, I give a lot of tours myself to folks that are interested in kind of what we do here. It's a 5-acre campus, and certainly our dining room is probably one of the programs that touches the most lives each and every day.
Sure.
That's been the cornerstone on which Loaves and Fishes was built, but there are all of these other programs and all of these different ways that we're providing survival services folks that are experiencing homelessness out there. So, I think that people just often remember us first and foremost for that dining room. But when they come by and they see everything that we have here and all the ways in which we help, it's certainly a story that we like to tell and one that we don't get tired of telling.
When Mayor Steinberg took over, he talked very passionately about, you know, truly, I think he used the word ending homelessness. Are we making progress?
I think that there's a lot of momentum out there. I think that there are a number of different new interventions that are coming online here that we didn't have access to before, which are absolutely wonderful, and we certainly need them. I think it's going to be some time before we're able to turn the corner and kind of turn the problem on its head, only because when we're looking at trying to end homelessness, I mean the simple way that you do that is with housing.
Sure.
And unfortunately, the housing crisis that we're facing still as a state, it's going to be a while before we're able to turn that around. And so we have to have a number of different types of programs and interventions that are going to help folks. Both of those folks that are currently experiencing immediate need and who are out there on the streets today, those folks that need to get more access to shelter, and then those folks who are ready to move on into housing in the community. And so it's, the answer to homelessness is housing, of course, but, how you get to that answer is probably the most complicated piece of the whole thing. And so I think that with the city and the county coming together here in the Sacramento area, and I think that if we can have a little more coordination at the statewide level as well, I think we could line some things up so that we're able to make an even better impact here out there.
Are there areas of the state everybody's working on this problem. Are there areas of the state where we have more homeless for some reason than in other places?
I mean, I think, L.A. and San Diego and San Francisco all come to mind, and it's just it's different from area to area. I think that what we're seeing here in Sacramento has been it was a little slow coming here to get to the levels that that people often associate with LA and with San Francisco and San Diego, but from what I can tell is that it's we're seeing it everywhere at this point in time. It's really difficult out there, no matter where you are. So it's, you know, just important for folks to know how they can get involved, whether it's you know, trying to volunteer or make donations or get out there and advocate for policy changes that would really help this situation.
The weather obviously has turned. It seems like just a few days ago it was 85 degrees, and we were wondering if it was ever going to rain. And we've had rain, and now we've really gotten into the chilly nights. Does that, I mean, obviously that must exacerbate the problem.
Oh, absolutely. It's really, especially on the nights where, I mean, we've got frost covering the ground, and, you know, folks that are outside and, you know, whether it's sleeping, you know, in a tent or in a sleeping bag or maybe none of those things at all. And then they're just outside. I mean, it really is hard and hard living for those folks that do that. And I often worry about safety of folks. And so a lot of times, I mean, we'll see people coming into Loaves and Fishes in the morning. We open up at about 7 a.m. And, you know, they're just chilled to the bone.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to do what we can to warm folks up and get them a hot cup of coffee, get them some warm breakfast, and get them in out of the cold.
Do we have any idea how many homeless we're dealing with in Sacramento?
Well, the last point in time count that we had, which was 2 years ago, had seen a 30% increase over the previous count.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in terms of what we're seeing at Loaves and Fishes, I've got at least a 10% increase on the number of meals that we serve. And so I think we're going to see another increase in the total number here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also difficult to kind of gauge because when they do that count, and they'll be doing that here at the end of January, I believe, or January or somewhere in there, it doesn't take into account people who are doubled up and staying with families and friends and just crashing on a couch, you mm-hmm. know, while they can. And so it's almost like there's this whole other section of folks that we're not even seeing and really have a difficult time trying to get a feel for what that number is on top of it. So, but in terms of the street number and the number of folks that are in the different programs that serve folks who are experiencing homelessness, I think we're going to see an increase.
So you have the one meal, the lunchtime meal every day except Thanksgiving Day. What kind of numbers do you have now?
I mean, it's different from the beginning of the month to the end of the month. So, you know, it used to be that the numbers would be in the 300s or maybe low 400,
mm-hmm.
Typically upper 300s, I want to say, at the beginning of the month. Now we're seeing that well up into four. And then towards the end of the month, I mean, we're seeing where we typically wouldn't do 600-700 meals until maybe the last week of the month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now we're seeing it closer to mid-month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process where kind of the numbers build up throughout the month, and then they go back down again at the beginning of the month. And so the 10% increase over last year, I mean, it makes sense because we're certainly seeing more bodies day in and day out at our different programs, particularly Friendship Park. And so we're just trying to just wrap our hands around it and still provide, you know, the same service that we're providing, you know, every day to make sure that folks have some just warmth and hospitality and give them a little bit of dignity while they're, you know, in this really, really difficult situation.
No, what can our listeners do to help? What sort of needs do you have that they could help with?
Well, I mean, the three main ways that folks can help, you know, if folks are able to come in and volunteer, there's a number of different volunteer opportunities that we spoke about earlier here.
Mm-hmm.
Donations are really critical right now. And whether it's folks that can come in and drop off different types of goods. I mean, right now we're doing a big push for socks.
Mm-hmm.
Socks and underwear are really critical right now. It's amazing the difference that a pair of socks can make in a person's
day. Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so we're taking sock donations directly here at 1351 North C Street at our warehouse. But then we've also got some other collection sites all throughout Sacramento, whether that's Uptown Studios on 23rd Street. There's Action Military Surplus, Give Something Back. Famous Footwear stores are also doing a collection.
Very good.
I think there's a Espinosa Family Chiropractic Center, which is also taking socks. The other big donation thing right now is Christmas stockings.
Mm-hmm.
And we hand those out after our Christmas dinner. And so those are just basically a general stocking, and we do gift cards, a set of hat and gloves, disposable razors, shoelaces, toiletries. There's actually, if you go to the sackloaves.org website, there's a holiday headquarters link right on the front page,
mm-hmm.
and it can take you to a number of exactly all these different drives and needs that we have as we're collecting.
Right.
And then the other big thing is, two big things is if folks can make a financial donation, Loaves and Fishes doesn't take any government funding whatsoever. And we're able to keep our admin costs low in doing that, and we can provide services and get the resources directly out to our guests. We're really in need, and at the end of December here, as we come to the end of the year, to make sure that we're able to continue serving all these new faces that we keep on seeing. So it's pretty critical. And then the final way, of course, is advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime that anyone can get out and get in the ears of elected officials and advocate for additional resources for helping folks that are experiencing homelessness, it makes an incredible difference.
Very good. Very good. Noel, thanks for all you do. It's certainly the Lord's work, and we're awfully glad that you're there doing so much, and I'm sure our paths will cross again before Christmas.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. You all are absolutely wonderful. So I hope you all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays here.
Same to you, Noel. Thanks so much. God bless. That's Noel Kammerman, who is the Executive Director of Loaves and Fishes. The Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They're at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, marriage and family therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.